greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where I have a truckload of stuff, and I'm driving, shifting. Oh, I tell you, you know, there's that report. They did something about, like, the top 10 most stressful experiences in life. And, one of them is moving. You know, getting married is another one. Just different things. Death in the family. But moving is one of those things. And, and I'm in the middle of that. And, you know, I love it. I love the fact that we can still come together around a word and still come together around the truth, no matter what the situation is. Because you know what, actually? The early church was like that. The early body of Christ was like that. They were just constantly before the Father. They were just constantly looking to Him, the author and the finisher of their faith. They were constantly talking about the Word and admonishing each other with the scriptures, with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. They were constantly before the Father and with one another in truth. You know, and speaking the truth, speaking that which is real, speaking that which the world needs. I had a brother, you know, write recently, you know, blessed brother in Christ, who, you know, hey, yeah, you're a good man, I tell you. And, but he just asked, you know, were we working overtime, you know, on what we were doing right now with Faith Mix? I mean, were we working overtime? Because we've been putting out a lot of words recently. But you know what the thing is that for us, you just got to respond to what God is doing. So if He's got you doing a lot, you do a lot. If He's got you taking a rest, you take a rest. You know, you flow with Him. You learn to flow with Him. And then when you flow with Him, see, the thing is, the world doesn't flow. The world is rigid. The world is cancerous. If you want a good example in nature of what the world and the world system is, it's a cancer. Because, for example, the world wants unlimited growth. It just wants to grow. It just wants to grow. And the thing is that, I mean, we talked about this on another audio, you know, God works in cycles. And there are times when God doesn't want you to do a lot. He just wants you to settle yourself before Him, to bow your knee before Him, to acknowledge His lordship over your life and over all things. He wants you to seek His face. He doesn't want you sometimes to be doing as much as He wants you to be being. He wants you to be before you do. So, there's a key in that. There's a key life lesson in that. You need to be before you do. Because the doing flows out of the being. And if you try to do before you be, you be a mess. Alright. If you try to do before you be, you're going to miss it. Because a lot of people, you know, they go and they try to do because that's the way the world defines themselves. The world defines themselves by their doing. Think about it. All right. After somebody asks you your name, right? So, hello, nice to meet you. What's your name? Okay, great. Nice to meet you. What's that next question? One accord, we all say, what do they ask you next? What do you do? How do you define yourself? How do you relate to the world and the world system? How do you add value to the world system that they remunerate you for? And based on what you do in the world is now how you are seen. Because if you do something in the world that's given value and prominence in the world, now you are seen as valuable. And if you don't, then you are seen as a throwaway, as a reject, as something that is not worth anything. So that's why, too, and when people's lives are defined by external and other people's perceptions of them, you know what, that's a never ending in this life that won't ever stop. And it'll just keep going from one to the next to the next. And if you build a company, then it's why aren't you building a bigger company? If you're not building a bigger company, or if you build a bigger company, then why aren't you diversifying? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? What's the next trick you're going to do, you dog and pony show? Or what's the next thing, you circus animal, are you going to do for everybody else's entertainment and amusement? When will you ever get off that hamster wheel? When will you ever stop running in circles? Because it's like the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. All you're doing is moving them around on a sinking ship. When you realize that the world is empty, the world is dead, everything that they do means nothing, counts for nothing, because even Jesus said, apart from me, ye can do nothing. Apart from him, you can do nothing. No thing. You can do nothing apart from him. Sure, you can do stuff, but it amounts to nothing. Do you get it? You can do stuff. Yeah, you can go do stuff, but it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't count for anything. It doesn't have any value. It is forgotten so quickly. You know what's funny? Is even now, because because of the saturation and the overload of information, they've literally gotten to a point where, at this point, at this stage, where it's, they're, you know, one holiday hasn't even finished before they start advertising the next one. I mean, one award is not even given before they start promoting the next one. They're just so quick to get everybody looking to the next thing, the next hoop you want to jump through, that they miss I am. They miss walking with Christ. They miss the truth of the gospel. They miss Jesus. It's a horrible, horrible thing to miss Jesus, because he is your Savior. He is your Lord. He is the one that has the plan for your life. Think about it. People go and they do and they do and they do, and they never get the plan for their life because they never go to the source of the plan. Look, the plan for your life, the unfolding of your life, the vision for your life. Because God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for hope and a future, right? He says, I know the plans I have for you. The plans for your life, who has them? He does. You try to go anywhere else to get the plans, you're not going to have them. You try to go to your own thinking, you're not going to have it. Because there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there. You go to your own thinking and you lose it. You miss it. You don't have what you need. There's a way that seems right. It seems right. It seems good. But then after you execute those plans that come out of your own mind and your own thinking, you are empty. Empty. There's nothing there. And you accomplish, and you strive, and you achieve, and you do all of these things. But after everything's said and done, it's just empty. There's nothing there. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing for people to go and to try and to strive and to do all these things to try to achieve. And yet, when they come to the conclusion of the matter, they realize that they missed it. There was no fulfillment. There was no anything. And the biggest hope that they have is, you know, on their deathbed, they try to immortalize themselves by doing something where they can get their name stuck on something and pass stuff on to their kids, who they want to live vicariously through their children, who is hopefully an extension of self. But those kids don't care about them, because they're worlders too, and worlders are selfish. Worlders are selfish, because that's the mantra of the world. Do what thou wilt is a satanic, chant. Which, actually, you know, the thing is, too, is like, I mean, even that is a spin-off of what the actual reality is, which is, the actual reality is, follow Christ Jesus with your entire heart. And be led by the Spirit. And as you are led by the Spirit, you'll find life, peace, truth, the gospel, what you need, all of it will unfold for you. But doing what thou wilt, which is the satanic mantra, that is ultimately saying, you as a separate entity, you separate from God, you apart from Him, you solidifying yourself in a position apart from your Creator. Ultimately, it's saying, die apart from Him, die apart from life. Doesn't sound as nice when I frame it up that way, does it? When you frame it up with what it actually is, it's quite terrifying. Because they say, all right, you know, you've got to save yourself. You've got to pay the price for your sins. You've got to work it all out on your own. And if you know how limited you are, if you have even just the slightest grasp of how far gone you are apart from the Father, you would drop to your face before Him and say, Lord God, please. You realize your absolute need for a Savior. You realize your just within the very core of your being, the absolute essential need that you have for a Savior. God's salvation. See, the world seeks to keep you away from that. You know, that is one of the largest reasons the world system exists, is to block the light. You know, God showed me this. God showed me this. Oh, man, I was probably... How old was that? I was probably 21. 21 when God showed me that. Very, very clearly, very, very real, very directly showed me the fact that the world's desire, the world system was there, the purpose of it was to try to block the light and the truth from reaching people, to block that which is real. They work very hard at that, very hard at that. They don't want that which is real to be known. So they do it all kinds of different ways. But, you know, the light can cut through, because the light is always more powerful than the darkness. And, you know, that what they end up pushing, what they end up propagating, what they end up trying to take forward, how they move and grow their system. You know how they grow their system? They power it on the souls of men and women that have given themselves over to it. They consume their souls. They consume their life force. They consume their being and use it to power their system that works to block light and truth. So basically, if you go into that system, you are now a battery for it. If you bow your knee to the Prince of the Power of the Air, which is what ultimately Jesus was asked to do in his temptations when Lucifer... Well, the devil offered him all of that in the desert. He said, look, he showed him in a moment, in an instant, all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, I will give it all to you. All of it. I'll give it all to you. He says, mine to give. Because the kingdoms, that world system, that was what he had been building. He said, I'll give it all to you. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus rebuffed it. Jesus, you know, dealt with it in a style and a manner that only Jesus can do. But now we can do because we walk with and through Him. Jesus said, look, the scriptures have said, you know, thou shalt worship the Lord your God only, and Him only shall you serve. There is no place for that. You always respond to the enemy of your soul with the Word. You know why? Because the Word is true. And the Word has power. And the Word was put into the earth so that you would know who you are. Because the world works very hard for you to forget who you are, to make you forget who you are, to make you think you're something else, to make you believe the lie. The world works very hard to make you believe the lie. But God gives you the truth. That's why when you read the Word and you see who you are in the Scriptures, it changes your reality. It changes the way you see things. Look, do you know that you alone, walking with the Spirit of God, that you plus the Spirit of God is always going to win? Do you know that you plus the Spirit of God, walking together, consummated with the Spirit of God, that you win? That you could stop an entire nation. Elijah was a man just like us, scriptures say. And he prayed. As he prayed, God shut up the heavens. For 3 years it didn't rain. You can pray. You can pray. You can pray, you can believe God, things change. You know, I know that I've got brothers and sisters out there that you guys pray. And when you pray, you know things change. You know, I've got friends that their prayers reach all over the world and they change things. They change the destiny of nations. They change the destiny of countries. They save lives. God uses them. God, they pray for people and people get healed and they don't even know that they were the ones praying for them. They pray for animals, and animals get healed. I mean, God's mercy is extended through His people walking in the earth that know Him, that know His voice, that are sensitive to His Spirit, that drop to their knees when God quickens them. You know, you gotta stop and bow your knee before the King of Kings and let Him instruct you. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let Him direct the affairs of your life. Let Him direct your energies, your resources, your time. You want to be about the Father's business. There's a lot of people that are about the world's business. A lot of people about the world's business. You want to be about the Father's business. Because you know why? When you get about His business, things get exciting. You know, the world is actually very boring. Very boring. The world is very boring. You know, I've seen it. You guys, I've seen it. I've seen the best they've got to offer. I've seen the very, very best they've got to offer. And you know what? They're boring. The world is a boring place. So, the world is a boring place. It's what it has. I'm talking about a system. You know what it'll do is it'll put on a good show. It'll put on a good image. It'll put on a good bluff. But ultimately they're empty. Ultimately they're lacking. And when you see it, you get kind of mad. When you realize and you just call them on, it's like, is this it? Is this all you got? You know, I tell you what, when you walk with God, He puts your life on an incredible adventure. You walk in a way that, and you see Him show up. My gosh, you know what? I have seen the Lord show up for me in just times, in timing where when you get out there and you're dependent on Him and you need Him to come through and you put yourself out there, that's it, that's all you got, you got nothing else, you've got to go with Him and you put yourself out there, you watch, He'll come through for you. You watch, He won't leave you out there hanging. He will show up on your behalf. He will. He does. God shows up for His people. God shows up for you. He was always there, but He wants you to trust Him. Look, if you're trusting the world, if you're trusting the world system, then you're looking to them. That is your Lord. And then you better find your provision from there. You better find your protection from there. You better find your direction from there. You better find protection from there. You better find your direction from there. You better find all that you hope for in life there. Oh, and by the way, it's empty, it's dead, they're a bunch of vampires sucking life off of each other and just looking for some fresh blood to keep themselves going. That's where they're coming from, in case you didn't know. So now that you know that, if you look to Him, if you look to the Father, if you look to our Creator, the Eternal God, the one true living God, if you look to Him, the author and the finisher of your faith, you bow your knee before Him. You seek Him with all of your heart. If you look to Him, He will come through on your behalf. If you look to Him, He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will watch over you. He will be His glory will be your rear guard. He will go in front of you. His presence will saturate your entire being. That's what you want. That's what you need. You know, outside of Him, we can do nothing. But inside of Him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There is nothing limited from you. You can do all. You know, I think back sometimes into my own life, even like when it comes to things like, say, sports. Training or whatever. And I've noticed there was a lot of times where I ended up doing certain things and performing certain ways exceptionally because I didn't know that I shouldn't be able to do that. It wasn't until somebody showed up and said, hey, you shouldn't be able to do that. Do that much or that well. Maybe believe somebody. And I was like, oh, you're right. I shouldn't be, limited myself. It took a little while to actually realize that was, a mind game and a game that's played on the level of the soul, whereas God, by His Spirit, will unlock you. You know, there's so much that you can do. The Spirit of God is limitless. The power of the living God is limitless. You know, you are oftentimes the one that sets your own limitations because you only believe that so much can happen and that only that so much that God can do with and for and through you. And so based on your limitation that you set, that's what you end up living with. Wouldn't it be so much better just to trust God and just to see and just to go out and just to give it a shot? Why don't you? Why don't you lay hands on somebody that's sick and pray for them and trust God for Him to heal them? Why don't you share the word with somebody that's hungry for truth? Why don't you get out there and do something with that faith that God has put in you? You know, let God redirect you, but start. You know, there's a scripture that says it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. But it's also, a brother of mine one time told me, it's also good not to have knowledge without zeal. You need them both. And there's a lot of people now that have all kinds of knowledge, but they got no zeal. They got no fire. They don't know. They've never been touched by the fire of God, and because of that, there's nothing inside of them that burns for the things of God, that burns to move forward with what God has for them. Ah. You know what? When God shows up and God does that which He's promised, I tell you, it fires you up in a way that you would not believe. When God touches your heart, touches your life, He does something inside of you. It's incredible. When you've seen the hand of God and you know that it's there. The place I think people struggle though is sometimes we get down to, okay, how now do we live? Because then we go from that into, okay, now our day-to-day living, functioning in this life, in this world, What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? What are we going to do? How are we going to make decisions and choices? And you're surrounded by a bunch of people that think like worlders, because they are worlders. And then you try to make a decision and a choice, and you don't, and you're sort of stuck with it. You're just like, all right, you know, well, they ridicule your faith. They ridicule your trust in God. They ridicule your dependence on Him. They ridicule, you know, His hand upon your life. But you know what? On one side, they ridicule you, and also at the same time, they envy you. They envy God in you. They envy the truth in you. They envy the way that God works through you. They envy the freedom that you have in Him. Because all the things that they've put their life upon and all the things that they've banked themselves on are empty, and they know it. And you have fulfillment. And though sometimes it might seem like they have something in the natural that maybe you don't possess at this time, but they also know that you have what's really important because you're fulfilled. Look, what you want in life, you don't want more money. You want a fulfilled life. You want a fulfilled life. Because money and wealth and all that stuff, actually, it's a bit of a trap and a bit of a trick. If you keep it in the place where it is a tool and you keep it in the right perspective, it can be fine. But as soon as it becomes a master, it's a horrible, horrible, horrible master. Money is a terrible master. You know, and frankly, you can't serve God and money. Scriptures say that you cannot. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. Either you will love one and serve the other, you'll love one and hate the other, or you'll serve one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. You can't. So if you love God, if you serve God, then you're going to hate that. If you serve money, you're going to hate God. And you know, it's funny because you do see that. I mean, worlders, they're very blatant in their hatred of God. But you know what? They don't get a choice in that. Because, see, even there too, they sort of spout, like they pretend like they're free, and they, you know, they got their parties and their big vacations and all their toys and all this stuff, and they talk like, oh, okay, they got it all cranked up, right? But they're not free. And they know they're not free. They are slaves to that system, to do whatever it is that that system requires of them. And part of what that system requires of them is to block the truth and to block people from hearing that message and that truth, to keep people as far away from the Father as possible, to confuse the message, to try to confuse the gospel. You know, there's a lot of people out there, their goal is to confuse the truth, to run disinformation. It's you know, there is so much information out there right now. Tons and tons and tons of information. To run disinformation is the goal of the world system. So that you just get confused. But you know what? If you have a heart for truth, it'll resonate within you. Because deep cries out to deep. Deep cries out to deep. And that's why too, you know what? We are fine with what we do being just for those that have a heart for it. Because what God is doing in us resonates with them. And what's resonating inside of them, they see and they find truth when they check in with us and when they walk with us and when we share and we fellowship in truth and in the things of God. You know, we're coming into an interesting time. It's an incredible time. It's an incredible time for the children of God. You know, God spoke to me many, many years ago in my very short life, but, you know, probably a decade ago, about the times that we're coming into now. And you know, in those days, there's so much eager anticipation to want to just get on with it, because you know, you love God and you just want to move. You just want to go with it. But God has His perfect timing, and He quickens you and allows something to grow inside of you because He wants you ready for those days, for that which is to come. You know, you have been quickened by the living God for the time that you now live in. You have every tool necessary. You have everything with you that you need to face the journey and the time at hand. It's all there. You know, that was something that God had to tell me recently. Was just, it's already there. You already got it. You already have it. The gifts have already been given to you. Just look, see, move with it. You already have it. You already have it. So, God's already given you what you need. The time is now for you to move with what He puts inside of you. The time is now for you to move with the vision that He's given you. The time is now, as you go to Him, to go with the direction that He gives you, that He leads you with. You know it. You know it. You know that's what you need to do. And when He leads you, go for it. When He guides you, just embrace it. Trust Him. Trust Him in the adventure. Trust Him in the life. You know, you can have joy-filled living. But it also comes on His terms. He's the one that gives it. He's the one that gives life and truth. Peace that passes all understanding, guarding your hearts as you rest and trust in Him. We love you guys, we really do. And we appreciate you. And you know what? Just be encouraged. Know that you're not alone, all right? You're not alone. Absolutely not. There's an army of people out there that know Him, that walk with Him, that love Him. And God is raising them up for such a time as this. So with that, God bless you guys. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email. Let us know you're out there. We always appreciate hearing from you guys. Faithmix@gmail.com. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faithmix, one word. You will find us there. So keep on keeping on, guys. We love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.